All right, today we're going to be talking about five sneaky and subtle ways your ex tries to use you or take advantage of you. Please stay tuned through to the end because we're going to be talking about some things that you can do, some things that could really benefit you to keep you strong and to keep you from being used in these sorts of ways, okay? With that being said, let's go ahead and get right into this. Hey there, it's Clay with modernlove.life. Welcome back for another video. We're talking about some subtle ways that your ex may try to use you. And that's not to say that they're nefariously trying to manipulate you and, you know, sadistically take advantage of you and string you along like some sort of narcissist or something, although they might be, I don't know. You know, I don't know them personally. I don't know what they're personally capable of or what they're predisposed towards or anything like that. You do, though. You have a sense of what their personality is. You have a sense of what their shortcomings and strengths and all that might be. So you might know. But what I can tell you is that most people aren't generally, you know, manipulative in a sinister kind of way. Most people aren't going to do that. Most people just, you know, just like you and me, just trying to get through their life and trying to find a little piece of happiness along the way. And, you know, we feel things along the way. We get confused. We're unsure about things. We regret certain things. We change our minds about things, right? And that's probably where your ex is. I mean, unless, of course, they, you know, have some sort of mental disorder or something, in which case that's a whole other story. Anyway, the first way that they might try to use you is for validation. You know, after a breakup, it's not uncommon for people to have doubts. Regrets. You know, did I make the right choice? Is this the right thing that I, you know, did? Maybe I should go back. I don't know. Or maybe they're making a decision to take their life in a different direction, you know? Gonna go do the single thing, go out there and date or whatever. You know, do something else that's a little bit out there for them. They might have some doubts along the way. They might have some setbacks or insecurities or uncertainties along the way. You know, they might occasionally reach back to you for some sense of validation or security-seeking kind of behavior. Again, it's not that they're, you know, necessarily using you in some sort of sinister kind of way. It's just, you know, hey, if you're someone that I know I can talk to and I'm feeling down about myself because, you know, maybe I wanted to go do the whole single life thing or something and I just got rejected by someone, you know, yeah, I might talk to you because I know that you can help build me up. I know that you're someone who will listen to me or someone who, you know, is into me or someone who is attracted to me or something like that to help me feel a little bit better. It's not to say that they're trying to take advantage of you, but it just might be something that they might be doing. And if you're not okay with that, you know, hey, we'll get to there in a little bit, but it is an option. It is a possibility, right? Next up, thing number two is, if I can say this delicately, they may be turning to you for intimacy, for a lot of the same reasons. You know, trying to keep my, you know, language under control here, because you never know who's watching these videos in the background. You never know who might be there while you're got this video playing in the background or something like that. People have needs. People have, you know, biological urges and cravings and things like that. And, you know, regardless of what their reason for breaking up with you is, or regardless of what their intention is afterwards, you know, they may want to pursue something physical with you in order to get that kind of release, in order to get that connection, if you will. You'll probably experience this as it being just simply about, you know, the act. There's probably not going to be too much emotional connection along the way. There's probably not going to be too much bonding along the way. It's probably just going to be about, you know, like, hey, a late night phone call or, you know, something like that, right? So it is what it is. If you want to play that game, okay, that's fine. If you don't want to play that game, that's totally fine too. Just know what your limit is, know what your standard is, and be willing to enforce some sort of boundary if that ends up getting sort of, you know, edged upon. The third way that your ex may, you know, try to use you is, of course, as a backup plan, right? You know, again, as I said before, it's not uncommon for people to have doubts or second thoughts about breaking up with someone. It's like, did I make the right choice? I don't know. Were things really that bad? I don't know. Maybe they weren't so bad. You know, I thought being out here single, I thought dating was going to be a lot easier than it is, but it turns out it's harder than I thought it was going to be. Maybe they weren't so bad. I mean, maybe I had a little bit of grass is greener syndrome or something like that. It's not uncommon for someone to experience something like that. And so they might unconsciously kind of keep you around just in case something doesn't work out. That way they know that, like, hey, you know, you're into me. We do have a connection. We do have some history. There are some positive things about us, despite why we broke up. But, you know, maybe I'll just keep you around as an option. Not necessarily that they're, you know, using you in a sinister way, like a chess piece or anything like that, but just they feel comfortable around you. They feel close to you in some way, and they feel that there's already a lot of the relationship stuff, early relationship stuff, built in that they don't have to go through the process of putting into place with someone else, right? That is definitely a possibility. Again, it's not that they're an evil person, most likely. You know them better than I do, but it's just that there's a certain sense of familiarity there, right? And they may just feel tempted by that. Not that they're, you know, using you necessarily like a narcissist or something, but just that there's a familiarity there that they feel drawn towards. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind as well too. By the way, if you like this video, please make sure you hit that thumbs up button for the YouTube algorithm. Please make sure you subscribe to this channel if you're not already subscribed. And also, please make sure you hit the bell icon if you haven't already. It helps us out a lot with the YouTube algorithm. And it'd also do me a big favor, too, if you could drop a comment down below, helping me out with my low self-esteem by just letting me know that you like these videos that I do. It would help us out a lot with YouTube, seriously. The fourth sign, or the fourth way that your ex may subtly try to use you is, you know, for financial support. You know, this will often come across as them suddenly, you know, opening up to you and connecting with you and warming up to you and everything like that. And then when they feel like they have some certain degree of rapport, then they'll say like, oh, hey, you know, I'm actually a little bit short for rent or something this month. Do you think you can, you know, float me whatever, $1,000 or whatever it might be? You know, that at least that's if they have some degree of tact. You know, they could just call you up and just be like, hey, you know, I need some money, right? But usually you may notice a certain pattern of them warming up to you and then asking for the money, and then usually typically followed by them pulling back, okay? At least if they have some degree of tact. And, you know, obviously it's up to you if you want to lend anyone money or not. But I would personally not feel great about doing this because it just makes everything so much more complicated. You know, if you want to work things out with them and then there's money involved, and then now suddenly, like, if things don't go well between the two of you, now you're starting to build, you know, resentment towards them because then they took this money from you, and then it's like, hey, are you ever going to pay me back? And then there's all these like covert contracts that could get formed between the two of you, like, oh yeah, like if I loan you this money, you'll fall in love with me and you'll want to get back together, and all that, all sorts of unhealthy stuff. So I personally wouldn't do that, but, you know, again, this is your life. You gotta choose what you're gonna do and do whatever the right thing for you is. Just be really careful with this, okay? Be careful if you notice yourself making any of those covert contracts. Be careful if you notice yourself saying like, oh hey, this is my chance to like really help them out and save them from this tight pinch that they're in. And if I do this, if I loan them the money, then they'll fall back in love with me and they'll want to get back together with me. Like, don't go down that road of thinking, because that's just going to most likely, in my opinion, set you up for a big disappointment and a letdown. But again, you know, you do you. You do whatever the right thing for you is. But just something to think about before you go ahead and do something like that. It will make things more complicated, and it will definitely add an extra layer of emotional challenge, let's put it that way, to this situation. And the fifth way that your ex may try to use you is basically just to keep everything on their terms. This is pretty common, you know, like whenever you have a consideration on your end where it's just like, oh, hey, Actually, I'm a little bit busy tomorrow. Do you think we could do this weekend instead? You know, that's when they might just sort of fall off the radar and maybe stop responding to you or something like that. Or, you know, when you have some sort of concern or something that you want to do or some kind of a thing that you want to invite them to, they just seem uninterested, right? Because it's not on their terms. And so that's another subtle way that they might try to use you, not necessarily with an intention, maybe one of the earlier intentions that we talked about, like, you know, validation seeking or something like that. I mean, I guess you could say they could be trying to, you know, feel powerful, right? You know, we've talked about this before on this channel, but oftentimes people do view the sort of dynamic between them and their partner as like a power kind of thing, where it's like, okay, I need to amass as much power as possible by playing hard to get, by using reverse psychology, by playing mind games, by manipulating you or something like that. Therefore, I've got you wrapped around my finger, and now I'm the all-powerful one, and, you know, you're the one that's, you know, groveling at my feet or something. Or you know, vice versa. You know, I hear all kinds of people saying, like, yeah, you know, that's why you gotta do no contact, to show them that you've got the power or something. I mean, like, you know, do no contact if you want to do no contact, but don't think that it's necessarily going to be a power game, or at least playing a power game is going to take you to a great relationship. You know, I've said this before, but great relationships are not built on power struggles. Okay, I'm just laughing because I'm trying to imagine some, like, you know, elderly couple in their 80s or something that's been married for like 50 years or something like that, and like, yeah, you know, the secret to a great marriage is that I always kept him in his place, and he always knew that I was above him. Or like, it's not gonna happen, guys. I'm sorry, but it's not gonna happen. They're gonna tell you something like, hey, you know, we just worked together. We figured out the hard stuff together. We always knew that we were on the same team, right? Anyway, tangent here is that know the game that you're playing. You want to play the game of power, play the game of power. Just don't expect it to give you the benefits of the game of love. If you want to play the game of love, go ahead and play the game of love, and you'll get the results of playing the game of love, which is that you get love, obviously. But if you play the game of power, you might get power, but don't mistake power for love. Same thing with, you know, whoever cares the least controls the relationship. Okay, if you want to pretend like you care the least, you might end up with the results of someone who cares the least, which is that, you know, you're alone and no one likes you or something. I don't know. But just know the game that you're playing. Know the game that you're playing, right? Like, you know, people that just try to earn, like, as much money as possible, hoping that it makes them happy. Yeah, they might end up with a lot of money, but is it going to make them happy? Or are they just going to, you know, say, like, gosh, I wasted a lot of years of my life, like, saying no to so many friends and things like that. And, yeah, I may have gotten the money, but now I have to look back at, you know, 10 years that, or 20 or 30 years or whatever, that I just delayed and deferred my actual enjoyment of life. When really, if they wanted to be happy, they could have focused more on the connections and the relationships that they had. Anyway, tangent. Anyway, congratulations. You've made it here to the end. Drop a comment down below letting me know that you've made it all the way to the end of this video, because that makes me so very happy and it does help me out with my low self-esteem. One thing that you are going to want to do here is to really know your limits. Know how to enforce boundaries. Know how to put those out there whenever you need to, because if your partner, if your ex is taking advantage of you, if they are using you, if they are doing things that are making you uncomfortable, asking you for money, keeping things on their terms, you know, using you for sex when, you know, you want more or something like that. By the way, the whole thing about, you know, loaning money, it also applies to being physically intimate. I think I said the word there a moment ago, but anyway, it applies to being physically intimate as well too. Anyway, you're going to want to enforce boundaries when need be. And the important thing with boundaries is that we have to understand exactly what a boundary is. Now, many times people will treat boundaries like an ultimatum. You know, it's like, hey, I texted you and you didn't text me back. Therefore, I need you to text me back immediately. Otherwise, I'm going to never talk to you again or something like that. And like, that doesn't really work because, well, first of all, if you texted them, you're stepping into their space, and now they have the choice to respond or not respond on their own terms. And that's not really your boundary to enforce. I mean, it's more like an ultimatum, right? But really, you want to think of boundaries as like sort of, you know, the fence around your house or the home that you live in or the apartment that you live in or something like that. You know, you don't just let anyone and everyone come into your home. They have to have a certain, you know, they have to meet certain standards. They have to, you know, be trustworthy. They have to be kind. You know, they can't just be like, you know, high on who knows whatever drug, you know, screaming and cussing and threatening your safety and whatever, and you're just going to say, hey, come on in, have a nice cup of tea, or like, you're not going to do that, right? You only welcome people in if they measure up to certain standards that you're looking for, right? And if you need to, just say, hey, you know, I'd love to have you come in, but if you're going to behave like that, if you're going to yell at me and scream at me and threaten to beat me up or something like that, I'm sorry, but I just don't think it's a good idea for me to let you into my home. And you just want to think about boundaries like that, okay? What are your house rules, and what is it that you're asking of other people? And, you know, just communicate to that then. Communicate that to them. And if you do want to learn more about how to have better communication when it comes to boundaries and things like that, I would definitely recommend you check out Effortless Connection. It's our course on communication. You can find it over at modernlove.life/EC. You can also find a link for it down below. Anyway, once again, thanks so much. Take care, and I'll talk to you in the next video.